I'm so glad you're in church this morning. It's going to be a wonderful day. Amen. We're going to be talking about growth this morning. I said we're going to be talking about growth this morning. Yeah. The Lord, He's been giving me a lot of words. It's interesting. Last year, I think around November or sometime, He told me that my family would experience extreme favor in this next year. And then Pastor Mark grabbed a hold of it, started talking about profuse favor. I believe profuse and extreme is the same thing. Profuse is just more of a biblical word. Amen. But then as I moved away from that with God, He began to speak to me about progress. And I believe I've shared this with you before, but God told me something very interesting in a time of prayer. Now, when I say God told me, let me just tell help you for a second, because I believe sometimes we as ministers make you feel like God's standing in our living room and, you know, just speaking to us face to face like He did Moses, but it's not really what happened. You know, He can do that. He's God Almighty. And if you have a burning bush experience in your living room, I want to hear about it. Glory to God. But most of the time He speaks to me, it's just, I just have this perception in my heart. I perceive that this is what the Lord is saying. And He began to deal with me about not focusing so much on perfection, but start focusing on progress. And He told me, I want to see great progress in your life as a disciple moving forward. And I think Robert was so focused on perfection, I wasn't making any progress. And as we make progress, I want to just be a better disciple tomorrow than I was today. Amen. I want to be a better follower of Jesus tomorrow than I was today. And in order for that to happen, I have to have some growth. And a lot of people, they don't really like growth. And I believe today is going to set the stage for what we're going to look at next Sunday. And then tonight, we're going to have a wonderful time as well. But in order to walk in the things that God has for us, sometimes we need to grow up. You remember when you go to Exodus chapter 13 and God brought them out of Egypt and He was bringing them to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And there was a short way for them to go. But God said, they're not ready to go that way. He said, I got to lead them the long way because there has to be a work on the inside of them. Because if they face any adversity, they won't go into the things I have for them. But instead, they'll turn around and go back to Egypt. Listen to me, friends. Your life of sin before Jesus is not easier than your life with God. Don't let the devil convince you of that. Amen. But as you're out in the wilderness, sometimes going the long way, allow God to do a work on the inside of you to grow you up so when you get to the promised land, you're able to enter in. Amen. And so we have to do this thing, growth. And a lot of people don't like growth. And I think we don't like growth because sometimes it can be uncomfortable. You know, I remember when I was in high school, I was 4'11" as a junior in high school. I was just tiny, itty bitty. I remember being in middle school. I was the all-star of the football team. I was so little, man. It was amazing. They didn't even have a helmet that fit me. All my teammates had gray, white helmets with gray face masks. Robert had a special helmet. It was bright yellow with a bright red face mask. I was just a tiny guy, and we had these guys. I played quarterback for 2 years, and then I switched to running back. And when I was playing quarterback, we had these two, the center and the tackle, and their names were Justin, and my dad was our coach. He called them the Twin Towers because they were like 6 feet tall in middle school, 6'1", 6'2". And he would tell me, he would say, Robert, just when they snap that ball to you, grab a hold of one of their jerseys and run right behind them. And I would just, you know, 4'11", I would just run right behind them. And then all of a sudden, like the waters with Moses and the staff, they would just part open and I would just take off. I mean, I was super fast, just a little guy, but really fast. I went to, you know, state track and almost went to Hershey's, Pennsylvania running track. So I was really fast, but I was really little. And when I got into high school, I realized, oh my gosh, every single one of them's Goliath. These people are huge. And so I segued from football because I didn't want to die and started playing soccer. And I'm grateful that I started playing soccer because then when I went to Rhema, I traveled with the team. I got to meet Pav, and we had a wonderful time and became best friends forever. And so God did something supernatural. But I remember being in high school, I didn't really grow. And then all of a sudden, I'm 5'11" now. From my junior year to my senior year, I grew a foot. There was a lot of uncomfortableness in my life during that period of time. Joints hurting, knees hurting. Elbows hurt, just a lot of discomfort because of how quickly I was growing. I think sometimes we shy away from growth because it's uncomfortable. I think sometimes we shy away from growth because it can be messy. Woo! It reveals things in our lives that we have to work on. And I feel like we're really good at ignoring those things, But God is wanting to bring attention to those things. And let me just tell you something real quick. This is not the message this morning, but let me speak to the parents in the room. We can see from the children of Israel, whatever you don't deal with gets handed to them. So this stuff in our lives that we need to clean it up with God so we don't give it to our children. I won't say that again. Whatever we don't deal with, we're going to give it to them and they're going to have to deal with it. So we need to get with God and grow. If you have anger issues and you don't learn how to deal with that, you don't grow through that with God, you're going to hand that anger issue to your child. If you've got an issue with your flesh and sexual temptation and you don't get with God and learn how to deal with that, you're going to hand it to your child. So we've got to get with God and we've got to grow through some things. And every single one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we have things about ourselves we don't like. Now listen, I'm not talking about the things that God has, you know, He made me with this hairline, I'm not going to complain about it. It is what it is. So there's certain things that, you know, you are who you are. You can't change that. But I'm talking about the stuff in our character that we don't like. That the only way to make that better is with Him. Friends, if you could have fixed it, you would have. And so we need His help to grow beyond these things so we can get into the area God has for us so we can hand down to the generation behind us everything they need to run with God. Amen. We're making a generational impact. Amen. It's progress. Someone say progress. And so when we leave today, I want you to know three things. Number one, the Bible calls you to spiritual growth. The Bible calls you to spiritual growth. Number two, how can you grow? And then number three, a few benefits of growing in the Lord. Now, we don't have time to hit all of them. We're just going to hit some of my favorites. Amen. So number one, let's start here. The Bible calls us to spiritual growth. Now, the reason why I said I believe this is going to set the stage for next week is as long as the Lord gives me permission to go this direction, next week we're going to talk about walking by sense knowledge as opposed to walking by revelation knowledge. And those who walk by revelation knowledge are those who have taken the time to mature in the Lord. So you have to start here with growing up. Everyone say grow up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 out of the New King James Version says, therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Don't you know the word is pure? Come on, don't let someone lie to you. It has no faults, has no blemishes. It is God's word. It's infallible. It's true. And it's perfect. The word of God is perfect. And we are to desire the perfect word of God. Why? That you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. So we're told to desire God's milk so we can grow. Amen. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. We have much to say about this. Now remember who the author of Hebrews is speaking to. He's speaking to Christians at the five churches of Rome. All right, so this is written to Christians, and so it's written to us. He says, we have much to say about this. It's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Woo, don't stop trying to understand the things of God. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not equated with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature. Someone say, grow up. Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish from good and evil. So we see the author telling the church and telling Christians, he's saying, why are you still infants and babies? You've been given so much good word that you should be teachers by now. You should be teaching that Jesus is good. You should be teaching that you're redeemed and you're delivered. You should be teaching this word because it's been delivered unto you. But yet you have not taken the time to study it and develop in it. You no longer want to learn from it. And because of that, you're infants or babies. So we can start with milk, but we're not supposed to stay there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 out of the Message Bible. Woo, I really like this. Someone say, I like it. Statement of faith before we even read it. You just told me you like it, so no matter what it says, you're on board. Now remember, we don't study from the Message Bible, but sometimes it does show us some things from a different light that really helps it resonate. It says this, verses 14 through 16 out of chapter 4, no prolonged infancy among us. Please, we'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy prey for predators. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love. Like Christ in everything, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Now, I want you to notice a couple things from that scripture about believers that do not grow up. Number one, he said, you're easy prey for the predator. If you wonder why the devil is able to just run amok over lives of believers when they're supposed to have the authority and the victory of Jesus Christ, it comes down to the simple truth. They haven't taken the time to grow up spiritually in the things of God. And because they haven't grown up, they're infants and they're babies, they're easy prey for the predators. Number two, he said, they resist the whole truth of God's word. Man, we see that in the body of Christ today. Resisting the truth. Resisting the word. Friends, you can't separate God from his word. You can't separate Christ, who was the word made flesh to dwell among us. If you're going to be Christ-like, that means you're biblical. You can't live a Christian life and not live a biblical life. I heard somebody on social media who has millions of followers, and I'm not going to get off on this tangent, but I'm just going to say it. He said, we need to stop biblical living and start living like Christ. And in my mind, I was thinking, how do you do that? But I love it because the first comment said, I like what you're teaching. I would love to live more like Christ. Where do I learn how to do that? The only way to learn how to be more Christ-like is from the Word of God. You can't be a disciple and a Christian and not be biblical. And it's all relevant today. Even the Old Testament is our example. It's not doctrine. It's our example. There's things in there that are good that you need to live by. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Do we throw that out because it's in the Old Testament? No, to be Christ-like, you must be biblical. And you cannot reject the whole truth. Number three, they refuse to take their lead from Christ. Man, the devil's done a good job at teaching us that we can be the gods of our own life. Isn't that what he told Adam and Eve in the beginning? He said, you'll be like gods, knowing good from evil, when they were already gods because they were made in his image and his likeness. Now, when I say gods, they were not God, but they were here to rule and reign. Amen. But then what was the mistake that the devil convinced them? You can be the God of your life. We're not qualified to be the God of our lives. We don't know enough. We're not smart enough. Amen. I don't have enough discernment. I need him and his wisdom. I need his grace. I need his guidance, his leadership. I'm not smart enough to do this on my own. Do not make the mistake that Adam and Eve made. They started reaching for creation when they should have been reaching for the Creator. Don't make that mistake. Stay focused on him like Matthew 6 says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And then number four, they're not healthy or overflowing in robust love. We need to grow. Someone say grow. Grow. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. Now, there's nothing wrong with the elementary teachings of Christ. Amen. We need sound doctrine. We need good doctrine. But we also have to understand that there's not two gospels. It's one gospel. But sometimes God's wanting to communicate things differently to us. And he can't do that until we're mature. We've got to be in a place to hear it. And so he says, I want you to move beyond elementary teachings about Christ. Be taken forward to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance and acts that lead to death, and faith in God, instruction about cleansing of rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. He's saying you should know all of this. The laying on of hands, you should be good with that. The reason you should be good with these things is time to move on and to grow. And God permitting, we will do so. So he's saying with God's admonishment and God's permission, you will grow up and move forward in maturity. But friends, when it comes to growth, at least spiritual growth, there are certain things when it comes to physical growth. Well, I could even say that about physical growth. It takes discipline to grow. As I've gotten older, I've really had to discipline myself in my body that I continue to grow the right way. I've stopped growing in height. There's only one way for me to grow in the flesh, and that is out. And if I don't discipline myself, I'll grow in the wrong way. You've got to discipline yourself when it comes to even teachings you're listening to, because if you're not careful, you'll grow in an unhealthy way. True growth and true spiritual growth with God requires discipline. It is a fruit of the Spirit that you would grow in self-discipline. The Bible calls it self-control, but it's the same thing. And so this growth requires something from us. Can you see from God's word that it requires growth from you? You should desire the milk of God's word. You should desire the meat of God's word so you can move beyond these elementary teachings and foundational doctrines so we can get into some more of what God has for us. So the Bible has called us to grow. Someone say, I'm called to grow. So what are a few ways that we can grow? Well, number one is from the teaching of the word in a corporate setting just like this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Let me ask you real quick, where did the five gifts or the five ministry gifts come from? Right there, it said he himself. If God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the ones that gave these gifts to the church, then friends, we need these gifts. We must desire to sit underneath these gifts. Why? Verse 12. For the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to such unity in faith and in knowledge of Son's God, to a perfect man, complete, mature, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Now, we read this out of the message. I'm going to continue to read it out of the King James. That we no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plot. In verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. Pastors, we'll talk about them specifically because you sit underneath a pastor every single Sunday and every single Wednesday. They have been called to give you the word of God. You shouldn't desire political opinions from them. You shouldn't desire philosophy from them. You shouldn't desire opinion from them. You should desire the word of God from them. That's what you want to pull out of your pastors. Why? Because of what it helps you do. In verse 15, but speak in the truth in love. They're called to give us the truth. Now, let me just say this. God's word, which is truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. They're supposed to give us the truth, which is God's word, and they give it in love. But when they give the truth, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Just because it's something difficult for you to hear, don't shut up your ears. Don't close off your heart, because the difficult things that we're called to hear are really the helpful things that will continue to grow us. And we need to hear the full counsel of God's word, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective work which every part does its share. Now, we can talk about that, but it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, listen to this. When ministers give you the word, you grow in these areas. We grow in our desire to serve in the body. This is what the word does. When you get the word, it grows your desire to serve in the body, because the word teaches that. The next thing, as we hear the word, it grows us in the knowledge of the Son of God. By coming to Cornerstone, you hear the word every single week. What are you growing in? The knowledge of the Son of God. You know more about Jesus than you did last week. you know more about Jesus than you did 3 years ago. Why? Because you're getting the word. We also grow into the perfect man, the complete man. Now, perfect man right there does not mean you're going to do everything perfect. It means you're going to be complete. You no longer need a career to complete you. You no longer need particular financial status to complete you. You no longer need a spouse to complete you because God has made you perfect. Because God has completed you. And there's liberty in that. So we grow into the perfect man, allowing us to measure up to the stature and the fullness of Christ. Amen. And then finally, we grow from babes, spiritually speaking, to being spiritually mature. Someone say progress. Progress. Woo, y'all doing all right still. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And so we see one way for us to grow is to get the word of God from the fivefold ministry gifts, to sit under sound teaching in the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. So when we hear the word of God and we receive it as the word of God, it starts to do a work on the inside of us. You can't just hear it. You've got to mix faith with it, right? You can't just hear it, but you must be a doer of it. And as we hear the word of God and we mix faith with the word of God, it starts doing a work on the inside of me. It starts challenging me. When I walk into a situation that would normally make me angry, I walk in with patience and peace instead. The word of God starts having a perfect work when my child makes me upset. Instead of yelling, I extend long suffering and mercy. The word of God starts having a work on me. When I'm at work and normally I would take some things from the office and bring them home and claim them as my own, the word of God has a perfect work on the inside of me, and I no longer do that. When I'm tempted to look at something on the computer that is still adultery, the word of God has a work on the... Woo, y'all got quiet on that one. Men and ladies alike. We got to allow... How does this happen? We receive the word of God. When everybody around me is gossiping and stirring up strife, I've received the word of God and I've believed it as such. And as I've shown through the word of God, I'm supposed to project unity and peace. And so I decide I'm not going to be involved. What is that? That's the word of God maturing me. Where normally, as a baby, I would love to get in the middle of that and talk with everybody else. As a child, I would love to gossip. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I talked like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I moved away from childish things. When we receive the word of God, and this is why the devil works so hard. Remember when they're talking about different types of soil in God's word, what does he say? He said immediately the devil comes to steal the word that was preached to us. Why do you think the devil has manipulated pastors all over the United States where they're no longer preaching the word? Because the word is your victory. I want to read this quote from Charles H. Spurgeon. He said this in the 1800s, and it's so prophetic. He said, "A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining goats." I look around and I see a whole lot of entertainment, but I don't see a whole lot of word. Why do you think the devil works so hard to get you away from Cornerstone? Because it's not about entertainment. It's not about philosophy and politics. It's about the word. And the devil hates it when you receive the word of God, because he knows the word brings healing. He knows the word brings life. He knows the word brings prosperity. Listen to me, friends. The word doesn't have power. The word is power. The Apostle Paul said this, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God, even unto salvation." There's power in the word of God. And if the devil can take the word out of the church, he's removed the power from the church. And now you've got a whole bunch of churches that look like they're doing really well, and they've got numbers, but guess what? The thing that they caught them with is the thing they have to keep them with. They can never start teaching the word lest they lose their whole congregation. I'd rather come to a house that's built on the word. Yeah. that's built on the rock. As Jesus said, lest you build your house on the rock, when the winds come, it will fall. Listen, friends, in this room, we're not building on sand. We're building on the rock, Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the Word. And we're building on that, and because of that, storms will come to you. That is not prophetic. You just know it's going to happen, but your house will stand because it's built on the rock. I'm just going to get real firm with you. Don't let anything get you out of your place. Well, I'm offended. Well, that's on you. Get out of offense. The Bible says, don't take offense. If someone does something stupid, says something stupid, I promise you it's going to happen. If I apologized every time I said something stupid, I wouldn't get anything done. That's not an excuse. I've got to grow in that area. But what am I saying? Friends, there's always going to be opportunities for offense. The devil knows what your life becomes as you sit under the Word of God. That's why he's trying to move people away from sound doctrine and from words that preach, or from churches that preach the Word. Cornerstone Word of Life Church, since its founding, for all of eternity, will be a church that preaches the Word of God. Why? Because it grows us up. Look at what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. And we really don't understand the intensity in which he's saying this, but he's saying this as he's writing this letter to him with great enthusiasm. He's saying this with great unction. He says, preach the word. You know, as Timothy is facing everything that's going on all around him, as the government's going sideways, as the church at Ephesus is, they're leaving the church in droves because of persecution, Timothy's standing there as a young pastor, and he's thinking, maybe in his mind, I don't know this, it's not written in Scripture, but maybe Timothy's thinking, if I can just start saying something else, maybe I can keep him here. And Paul says, don't move away from it, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Now watch what happens when you preach the word. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. This is why a lot of people don't want the word, because this is what it brings. It brings correction, it brings rebuke, and it brings encouragement. Now, I'm not going to tell you what those Greek words are. I'm just going to give you the Greek definitions. Number one, correct means to expose, convict, or reprove. Woo! You want some things exposed in your life? Get the word of God. It's a light, and it exposes darkness. But the good news is darkness and light can't coexist. As you get the light in the life of God's word, amen, it exposes things in your heart, and then it, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it convicts you, and it says, let's move away from this darkness. Let's grow up, and let's stop doing that, and let's start doing this. Number two was rebuke. Now listen to the definition of rebuke. To warn by instructing can mean rebuke, but as also fundamental sense is warning to prevent something from going wrong. The Word of God constantly is giving us warnings to prevent something so it doesn't go wrong. Is continually showing us. And as you get the Word of God in there, then the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, when you need it, can bring it up out of you so that way you can go and move away from something that's going to go wrong. Amen. The Word brings, and then finally, encouraging. What does that mean? In the Greek, it means I comfort. I who? Him. I comfort. Encourage to console. As you get the Word of God, God comforts you. He encourages you. He consoles you. He always does through the Word. Every time he teaches me and grows me and I'm in the Word, yeah, he does chastise me, but then he's always right there to say, but I love you and let's work on this together. Not alone, but together. And I will comfort you because he is the great comforter. Amen? And we have the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And so we have to stay with the Word of God. Amen. So we sit under preachers and they preach the Word to us. Another way to grow from the Word is to study it for yourselves. Amen. We know this. We know in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, what did he tell him? He said, meditate in the Word day and night, then your way will be successful. There's something in there that Joshua needed to study to get to the places that others could not get. You remember the Apostle Paul? You know, Charles H. Spurgeon, he also said this. He said, a Bible that's fallen apart often belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible that has fallen apart often belongs to someone who isn't. As we sit under the teaching of pastors and prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers, we receive the Word of God and it grows us up, but there's another way to grow from the Word, your personal time and fellowship in the Word of God. Not merely reading it, but studying it and digging in there and allowing yourself to grow so that way when, again, the winds come, your life doesn't fall apart. Amen? And so we see a call to growth. We see how to growth. One last scripture on this, John 15:3. We know Jesus talking here about the vine and the Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. But verse 3, he said, you're already being clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Listen, friends, this is long. Write it down if you can. The word of God is a cleansing agent. The word of God is a cleansing agent. It condemns sin. It inspires holiness. It promotes growth and it reveals power for victory. Jesus continues to wash his people through the word. I'm going to read that again. The word of God is a cleansing agent. It condemns sin. It inspires holiness. It promotes growth and it reveals the power for victory. Jesus continues to wash his people through the word. We need to continually be washed by the word of God. Amen. Your life is like a ship at sea. And if you're not careful, a whole bunch of barnacles attach to you. But the word of God scrapes those off and removes them from you. And then he adds the things that are healthy and good from your life. So we see a call to growth. We see how to grow, sitting under the word, reading the word ourselves. And then what are a few benefits from this growth? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, it says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Let me just say this real quick. You can classify all of mankind into three categories. You have the natural man. The natural man is someone who's not born again, and the Bible says that spiritual things are foolish unto them. You have the carnal man. This is a Christian that's been born again, but they have not taken the time to mature and grow in the things of God. And because of that, they're very sensual. They remind me a lot of the natural man. If it feels good, how can it be wrong? And then you have the mature man. The mature man is someone who's taken the time to get into the Word of God, to be developed by the Word and revelation from the Word by the Holy Spirit, and they mature and they grow into things. Someone say progress. Now, why does God want us to grow? For the very reason I just said. Because if there's no growth in his body, then the church remains carnal and it continues to look like the natural man, and there's no separation between the body and the world. And this is what God does not desire. He needs his church to look different, sound different, be different than this world. And if we remain carnal, we will not look different. We will not be different. We will not sound different, but we'll look just like them. And then you'll hear this a lot from people who you invite to church. Why would I go there when they have the same thing that I have? Amen? And so we've got to grow up. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying, he's saying, you're still carnal to the church of Corinth. Now, watch what happens when he's saying, but people are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. And that's what I want to bring attention to right here. One of the benefits when we grow, the things that God has for us, we're now ready for them. What a shame it was at the church of Corinth that God had, through the Apostle Paul, God had these wonderful things for him, but Paul could not deliver them because they weren't ready, because they were babes. Again, goes back to Exodus chapter 13, when God brings them out and he says, I've got this wonderful promised land for you, full of milk and honey, grapes the size of your head, where you're going to live in houses you did not build. You're going to reap harvests that you did not plant, but you can't go there yet because you're not ready. I want to be ready for all the things that God has for me. But in order to be ready, I've got to grow up. Someone say, grow up. One of the benefits of growing up is it gets you ready for what God has for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, now the Amplified. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing in a mirror for the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. One of the benefits of growing up is we see a constant transformation in our lives. Constant transformation in our lives. We continually are thinking different. We're continually acting different. We're continually speaking different. There's a transformation. And as you grow, maybe something you said last week, you've grown up in a week's time, and you're like, man, I'm not going to say that again. Maybe there's something you did 2 weeks ago, but you've grown up, and you're like, wow, I'll never do that again. There's this continual transformation inside of the believer. Come on, none of us are perfect. Our houses are under construction. We're still being built, but we're making progress. Amen. And as I make progress, you're going to see a continual transformation inside Robert, where I'm going to be better tomorrow than I am today. I'm going to be better next week than I was last week. I'm going to be better next year than I was this year. Why? Because I'm with the Word of God, and that Word is working inside those who believe. And there's this continual transformation in my thoughts, in my speech, and in my actions. Looking more and more like Him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. Number three, as we grow in God, it removes the spots, better translated in the Greek, the stains from our lives. You know, if you actually look that up and study it out, how do we get spots and stains? The Bible says, the Greek definition of that, it tells us that spots and stains come from living outside the preferred will of God. But as we grow, we continually submit our lives to the will of God. We say, what is the will of God? The Word of God is the will of God. And as you submit to the Word of God and you live by the Word of God, it keeps your life free of spots and stains. Keeps your life. Have you ever had, I just did this last night actually. I was trying to sleep. I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about all of y'all in this moment right now, and it kept me awake. But there was a wrinkle on my bed. Has there ever been a wrinkle in your sheet and the underlining, and you just can't get, you've got to work that silly thing out. And I'm like waking up Rachel, I'm tossing and turning, and I can't work out the wrinkle because my body weight's on it. And so like I had to get out of bed and I had to pull the sheet and adjust it to try to get it nice, and I laid back down on it. That's what wrinkles, as I think about this, that's what it is. It just makes us uncomfortable to where we're not enjoying things. God wants you to enjoy this life. He wants you to have Zoe, the God kind and quality of life. Friends, how do we get Zoe? We got to mature. We got to stop bringing spots and stains into our lives because we're living outside the preferred will of God. We got to stop bringing these wrinkles in our lives that cause discomfort. We've got to grow up. And as we do, it keeps us free from spots and stains and wrinkles. And then I love what he said, Apostle. He said, also, any such thing. So he said, if spots and wrinkles aren't enough, anything else that looks like that, it keeps your life free of it. Amen. Final scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Woo, glory to God. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Has anybody been called out of darkness in the marvelous light? Amen. Who were once not people, or who once were not a people, but are now a people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. As we grow, we learn how to live as His chosen people. We learn how to live as a holy nation. We learn how to be salt and light. All of this comes from growing up. And this is what I believe God, no matter if you are a mature believer or an immature believer, if you looked at your own life and you say, well, I've moved away from being a babe in Christ and I've reached adulthood stage of spirituality, friends, it doesn't matter where you are on this scale, we're all still called to grow every single day. The first way you begin to grow is by giving your life completely to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you would, just close your eyes and bow your heads with me real quick. I want to pray for you before you go. Father, I pray for every single person sitting in this room underneath the sound of my voice. I thank you that you help us respond to the word that was given by your Spirit this morning. That we see that you desire spiritual growth from us. Jesus died so we wouldn't stay in this place, but that we would be able to move forward to maturity in God. I thank you that we all respond to this message, and with sincerity, in a moment of honesty, we ask the Holy Spirit, show us things in our lives that you would like us to move away from. Show us things that we can do better in our thought processes, in our speech, and in our action, in our deeds. What can we do better to be better representations of Jesus Christ? And I thank you for mercy as we do that. I thank you for grace to help us move away from these things so we can be more and more like you.